Should we put a little plug to the latest brand that's going to give Rad Dad some love?
Yeah.
Would a good little promo be that can go at the front? I'm trying to think of a 30-second freestyle, you know, you go, I go, you go.
Well, I think some of the marketing has been, you can have it all with Have All.
Okay, so have it all with Have All. Haval. Is it Haval?
I don't know. I think that's probably...
If you're going to use the word like all, because you're not going to be like, know, enjoy the film with the little mouse. Have it all with Stuart Small. No, that didn't come out very well.
I think generally speaking, let's flip this and go, actually, you know what? Lesson 101, when dealing with a brand relationships in some sort of formal kind of partnership, sponsorship, first question to anyone that's wanting to leverage their digital profile, know how to say the brand that signs up that says, actually, you know what, we'll get in behind what you're doing. So, little tip for young players.
Or is this just an elaborate sell and we're totally backselling it? So it's like, oh, the dad's bumbling around with the name. But what do you remember after this? It's not Have All, it's Havel.
Havel.
Unless it's not.
And with that.
Yeah. Episode 10.
H9 coming soon.
Oh, episode 10. I was like, H9. I was like, what does H mean?
I don't know. Episode 10, proudly brought to you by the all new Havel H9.
Yeah, it's just a big truck and...
lots of space.
Comes from China, and now they're selling it in New Zealand to Kiwis.
Yeah. But unlike dads, very much like dads, it's about breaking stereotypes and misconceptions.
Correct. Like how when we go on national television in our denim jackets, we're breaking stereotypes because everybody else is in a polo shirt.
Yep.
And so that's why... that's why we've got it right, Greg.
And that's why Have It All is behind us and what we do, and we're behind them, and they're all new H9.
It's awesome. So the deal is we'll get trucks whenever we want. We'll make content with whatever we want, and hopefully it's awesome content. I've got an idea for the Have All show.
Yeah.
So it's me and you and a couple other guest dads go around to a nominated dad's house and mow his lawn and weed his garden. I want all the dads in the Rad Dads community to have the best gardens.
You want to be like the not even sure where that was going.
It's fine. We get what you mean, I think. What I want is to... I want to have the best and shed the worst. So what I mean by that is like... you watch shows on, you know, let's rebuild your house. And it's always about, like, let's just rip it all down and start again.
Yep.
I start thinking to myself, what about the stuff you've already got, but you just don't look after it? Mm. If you'd looked after your windows, you wouldn't have to rip them all out.
This is true.
That's okay for a dad. I think there's a lot of meaning in that, you know? Like, what does it mean to... like, seriously, my wife went outside today and she's like, man, looks awesome out here. And I was just like, it was a party inside my heart, inside my pants. It was all on because I was just so happy that I didn't really ask for that recognition, but she offered it.
So back it up.
Yeah.
Back it up. Now that we're well into episode 10.
Brought to you by Have All. You will have all with the Rad Dads.
Now that we're well into episode 10, walk us through... the gardening exercise.
Okay, so those of you who follow the Rad Dad's Facebook page reasonably closely will know that we are shutting it down. No, that's not true. But Elon Musk deleted his Tesla account.
What?
Yeah, let's get into the Facebook stuff after.
Yeah.
But dude, it's all on Facebook. People are gutted that they shared that information. Did you hear about that?
No.
Okay, well, we're going to go. This might be a long podcast.
I'll go there.
So, I... was on social media the other morning. I believe it was Sunday morning. I was having my coffee.
Yep.
The birds were chipping away. I was just reading stuff. And then a post came up from a friend, and the post was around free speech.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, particularly on social media, around what can you say, what can't you say,
mm-hmm.
where are the boundaries, you know? And I would go as far to say that most people in our world, like us, or let's just round it down to New Zealand, most people in our country who are hardworking
mm-hmm.
just maybe assume there's free speech and those things, but they were fought for, let's say, by our grandfathers,
right? Yeah.
That those things, that totalitarianism, is that even a word?
Totalitarianism.
Well done, Will.
Yep,
Two points for trying.
Ding, 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 ding.
That was part of what was in jeopardy in World War II, for example.
Yep. Right?
We'll control it, and we'll, you know, we'll tell you what to do. And you know, I don't know what your kind of background is in family, but I certainly have a history of your grandfathers going out and coming back to New Zealand with trauma and stuff like that. Anyway, this is not supposed to go that deep. All that happened was, I kind of agreed with what this person was saying in my feed, and then there was a comment that came in saying, you know, you guys are disgraceful, can't believe it, this is plain racism, or whatever the context was, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to express what the content was, because it's kind of like, it could be any scenario.
It's interchangeable.
It's interchangeable. The point was, there was a difference in opinion, and it was playing out live on social media.
Yeah.
And what really got me was, I was feeling the rage, you know? I was ready to, it was like, it'd been building for me, and I've been trying to find a way to kind of, what's happening in this world? We're all on these teams, and, you know, don't you dare take anything away from me. And I was just, my keyboard warrior hands were ready to start typing. And just before I did, I kind of, well, first of all, I kind of subconsciously thought of the three principles that we live by. You know, it's like, think, you know?
Act.
And then say or do.
And then speak.
Right? Yeah. And I was about to go, and I thought, what's best and worst scenario here? I prove the person wrong, they will block me. I get proved wrong, I get called out, I have the rest of the day feeling wounded.
Yeah.
Or it just goes back and forward, and this person I've never known, possibly I'll never see in New Zealand, possibly I've met and we've had a nice conversation in real life, it just didn't translate onto social. There's all these scenarios, right?
Mm.
So what I did is, you know when Forrest Gump got up and just started running?
Yeah.
I did that. It's like I stood up, I put my Nikes on, I stood outside the door, and I just went down and started pulling weeds out. And I didn't know really what I was up to, but my feeling was, if I still feel like going all keyboard warrior,
mm-hmm.
after I've done the entire garden and mowed the lawn, and it has to look nice, then go and do it, you know?
Yeah.
So it kind of was a bit of a epiphany, because I thought to myself, this is a way better outcome for me. Because even if I do go back and keyboard warrior it, even if it, if I'm right or wrong, I've still got a tidy garden.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking about how much meaning there was in having a tidy garden. And I thought about my dad, and he always mowed the lawns.
Yep.
You know, and he always did stuff, and he wasn't someone who marched for big moments, but we always had a tidy lawn.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is pretty wicked, you know. And that's a really hard thing to do, to keep your lawns in order.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds trivial, but I'm starting to think at the smaller scale now about, like, particularly with how we work, we're really busy, and I'm sure everyone listening is busy, and the question I always have is, how do you just, let's not worry about, like, it's too far away to think about what's happening next year, or sometimes it's too far away to think about what's happening next week. What are we doing to get us through today?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I just really found a lot of, I found a lot of happiness in this idea that it doesn't matter if you live in an apartment or live on a massive farm, there's things you can do around your own place. You know, even if you're young and you live at home, then you could potentially just, like, what does it mean that your garden is your body?
Yeah.
You know, so groom yourself, you know, have a nice, if you want to grow a moustache, have the best moustache.
Yeah.
It's like little things. And I kind of thought that there must be some psychology to that. And of course it makes sense, but I was interested to share it with the Rad Dads community, because for me, man, it was just like a, I couldn't find a downside.
No. I don't think there's a downside at all. I think there's something incredibly profound in this idea of not allowing the worries of tomorrow be the reason to defer action today. You know, because I'm always aware of those, like, these things are so easy to find that line where you go backwards and forwards and, oh, no, well, I'm just going to disengage from my world completely because I've got enough to worry about in my own world. And that's not what you're saying. I know you well enough to know that that's the case, but, you know, people kind of use it as an excuse the other way. But I think, I think for me, at least listening to that experience that you've had, I think that's where, for me, the really profound thing is that, you know, you could have used all of what was happening or what might have happened in the future as an excuse not to deal with what was immediately in front of you then and there. And I think that's for me is the really telling thing. And I'm fascinated to understand what's happening with Elon Musk and Facebook, and because we talked very briefly about a video that I saw on Facebook about cyberbullying, and I'm really intrigued by the way humanity interacts with things and its relationship with things like technology. And I feel like there's a real demonization of technology that's happening now.
Yep, and some of it's, I think, earned because I've heard it explained to me through a podcast, Joe Rogan's podcast, actually. He says the way we interact with technology, it's like we're a toddler, and we're falling over, we're getting back up, and we're trying to get used to it. It's a new digital native, it's a new digital language.
Yeah.
And with all new things, like, you know, when was one thing that was ever easy that was new? You know, you have to go through it. But again, it's like, I don't want to just jump on the back of it and diagnose it, because I think most of us, actually, we're not in a position to diagnose.
No.
Are we a doctor?
No.
You know, when we clearly say it on Rad Dads, it's like, we're not the professionals.
No.
We're just blokes who are chatting. But we have areas where we know more about. But, you know, we do live in this world now, and it kind of all ties in where it's like, if you don't give an opinion on something, you're not, it's like you're not adding.
Yeah, you're not in somehow engaged.
Can you imagine a meeting where you walk in and someone says, what do you think, Will? And you're like, well, I'm not really informed on that matter, so I'm just going to sit back and observe.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Oh, wow, that's not going well in your KPI because you've embarrassed me in front of, you know.
Yeah.
And we get really good at saying, well, Elon Musk deleted his Facebook account, and that's why I think we should delete ours.
Yeah.
Wow, he did.
And all of a sudden we become sheep, and we just follow that. And I think there's an element of bravery. I'm still really, really taken by, Gary Vee's statement around the fact that technology is ultimately a mirror. And again, it doesn't mean that we don't deal with the fact that there's parts of us that we may or may not want to see. But I think, I think it's inherently about how we change our relationship with technology, because to simply dive, to kind of stick our heads back in the sand and go, oh, nah, you know, like I don't know, I can't understand. I don't know. I guess it's for me, and maybe I'm fortunate in that. I feel like maybe I've struck a reasonably positive balance in terms of benefits and, you know, negatives from my interaction with social media and digital and what have you, but and maybe I'm just a bit complacent in that and don't understand or empathize with other people's battles, but I don't necessarily think it's that complicated if we're prepared to examine ourselves in relation to the technology rather than putting it all on tech. You know, there's something really empowering about this the opportunity that we have when we sort of step up and say, this is my deal, you know, and I'm ultimately responsible for the outcome of this. So actually, you know what, I can reframe and change my behavior, and one of the options is to take it out altogether, just like, you know, the alcoholic or the drug user says, you know what, you know, it's widely known that, you know, once you're in the AA program, you acknowledge you're an alcoholic and you're an alcoholic for life. You're a recovering alcoholic. That's the badge that you wear, and that's not a badge of shame. That's just a badge of acknowledging who you are and how you're made up and where you sit in the world. And I think for some people, that's the acknowledgement that they need to make in terms of their relationship with technology. But for others, I think it's about actually going, what part of my DNA is being played to when I interact with it? But again, if you, I'm thinking out loud at the moment, but
awesome.
If you can't see an upside, then I can completely understand why you disengage. But I don't know, I there's just something in me that doesn't sit right with this idea that we just completely withdraw from something simply because we can't find a way to make it work for us.
Well, I think there's two things I want to kind of jump in on. One is just explaining the context of why they're deleting their accounts. So Facebook was, it's been proven that like an English company was back-end data using.
Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah, that's it. So basically, you know, you'd fill out these online forums and it was supposed to give you a cool picture like you're a rock star.
Yeah.
But they were using all that kind of secretively, and I think people deep down know that, right? There's, that's the downside, or the it's like the terms of agreement that we just push okay.
Yeah.
We know someone can get into our Gmail, but you know what trumps that? Always having a working Gmail drive and having 15 gigs of free space when you need it because you had to get your presentation done. Like when we gave that talk.
Yeah.
The PowerPoint wasn't working. We copied it on Google Drive and it worked, you know?
Yep.
So I think deep down we know this and we shouldn't be surprised. And I think we're preparing ourselves. I think we're perfect examples. We try and live our life the same online as offline.
Mm.
Now, there's some privacy things there. We know that with our kids, how much to post, how much to not. But it's still in some preparation for a world where maybe people do walk around with their points on their phone, on the hologram, you know, saying trustworthy or verified or something. And if that's the case, I want to be on the right side of you know, because there is a good side to knowing if someone's scamming you and if they're dodgy. It just kind of counteracts when a place like Facebook, it comes out and someone proves it, you know. But so this kind of came out, and there's been tech CEOs from around the world. Maybe they felt like they could move in on that Zuckerberg space a bit and be the social media guy, you know, instead of Zuckerberg. But basically, yeah, there was this, I think it was delete Facebook trending hashtag, and Musk deleted his Tesla and I think his SpaceX Facebook pages in, you know, protest. Now, that's got everyone thinking, well, should we just get her off it all together, you know? And I think I sit with you. For me, my experience with Facebook is exactly how you've probably found the link to this podcast, is how we've built a community of, you know, 2,600 odd New Zealanders just trying to get through the next 12 hours because that, you know, life ain't peachy all the time. And it's like you're going to try and sit there and say that the 296 members that we have in the Dad Cave group, that somehow is not awesome. That's awesome. This is why we like the pub, because we had social interaction. It's just Kiwis weren't good with trying to fill your boots full of booze before 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'd say there, is that we have to kind of, I think for us, I'm keen to proceed forward. You know, I want our digital presence out there. That when we say that the reason we're doing Rad Dads is so when our kids are older and we're old and, you know, crumbly, they can go back. Yeah, that's right, crumble pie. that they can go back and watch a catalogue of on-demand 1080p footage and audio that sounds crisp of their old man's expressing themselves.
Yeah.
You know, put that in context before you say, let's just delete everything.
Yeah.
And understand that, yes, there's the danger side. Yes, there's a scary side. But I sometimes feel like we put the word technology, it's too simplified.
Mm.
How I try and express it to myself is, so you're driving a car. Okay, there's 100 different reasons why you might crash.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's 100 different reasons that someone might crash into you. Mm-hmm. And then there's about 1,000 reasons why you might both make a mistake or a malfunction or something. So we can agree that that's complicated and that we need training and that you can't just drive from the age of 10. We have rules around that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, even if you've got all that sorted, over here there's a Boeing 747.
Yeah.
And now you've upped the level of, now you're dealing with 300 people on your plane.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're flying in the air, defying gravity. And where I'm saying where the technology is compared to the person learning how to drive the car is the self-landing rocket.
Yeah.
That Musk, I think that's where we should be thinking.
Yeah.
But we're not. We're still thinking we're driving a car.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that helps, but I think examples like that is exactly how I try and think before I go ballistic on social media, which, by the way, I've never done. No. But I got close, Greg, and that's what worried me. That's why I think the temptation for people to scrap it all is arising, because they're feeling like, I think from self-reflection, you're looking back and you're feeling embarrassed and very humbled by a burst of bursting out at someone for something that they were expressing.
Mm.
We wouldn't do that. Like, we actually say, don't hold everything in. Say it out loud.
Mm.
So we actually should be clapping people, Maybe the research would show that social media is saving lives by giving you an outlet.
It's also simple things like, and I wholeheartedly agree, it's great that people, that connectivity and the opportunity that people have to say that stuff out loud. But I'd also say, I just can't wrap my head around, just like, if you wouldn't say it to somebody else's face, don't say it alone. It's just... But, I think the hashtag needs to be make Facebook authentic, make Facebook authenticity wins.
Mm.
And I said, that sounds trite and cliche, but I think it's really true. I don't mean to beat our own drum that we've sort of collectively built with you guys and the members of our community, but I can't help but go, man, there's just something really magnetic and awesome about having people gathered and connected for all the right reasons.
Mm.
And it's like, what does it take for us to believe that technology plus the human spirit and all the good things in humanity can only make the world better?
Mm.
Because I think the other thing you have to acknowledge is, on the flip side, you've either got to be working with technology to make the world better, or just because you've withdrawn from it doesn't mean the technology won't exist and won't be engaged and used for nefarious purposes against you regardless.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you can only ever win the game if you're in the game playing it. Mm. And even if it sucks, and even if it's hard, and even if you're getting... your backside handed to you and you're bleeding and bruised and what have you, you still got to be in the game if you've got any shot at winning. And I can't help but feel that this is kind of one of those times where technology and the byproduct of tech and social and all of those things is beating us up a bit.
Mm.
And people are leaving the playing field because they think that getting out of the game is the option. And I'm just not sure, shucks, I could be held to account and proven very wrong about the statement that I'm going to make. And this is the scary part about doing this kind of stuff. But I'm not sure whether it's a game that we can actually truly back out of, simply by virtue of the way the world progresses.
I don't think there's a way we can back out of it. I don't think we should ever want to back out of something just because it's challenging.
No.
I actually think because we're in a country that's... Let's go back to the free speech, Mm. I mean, we don't have directly free speech laws, but we have freedom of expression.
Mm.
And, that's another way of saying social media, right?
Mm.
And so we need to learn how to do this. And sometimes what helps me is I think about what we do on Rad Dads, and it's really important for us ethically to try and be similar online to our real life.
Mm.
And I think that's where Elon Musk and that dropped the ball a little bit, because it was their chance to show, maybe not even offer opinion, just sometimes business as usual is an awesome thing, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes when you wake up as a parent and there is only two bits of toast left because you're waiting for payday, but you make that into something yummy and you add in a few fruits and make the lunchbox feel full. Business as usual.
Mm.
Not everyone has to wake up in the morning and say, we don't have enough food.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what we're doing on social media. We're just going with the shortest, fastest way to get a reaction, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, guess what? If you did wake up and tell everyone that, that's where you would get a reaction, and everyone would be freaking out and panicking, and and you know, you'd be getting lots of interaction, let's say. But I think there's something strong in just don't have an opinion on everything, and just, you know, try and just get through the next kind of 24 hours, you know.
And if you're gonna fill the void, fill it with good stuff, you know. Fill it with good stuff. Fill with authentic, real reflections on life. I mean, again, having said all of that, you know, I'm no Facebook fanboy by any stretch of the imagination, and I'm fascinated to see what the internet's going to do in its next incarnation, and what, you know, blockchain is going to do to the internet, and decentralization is going to do to companies like Facebook. And I mean, that's only the tip of the iceberg, and my little old brain just begins to explode when people start talking like that. But I think we're both smart enough to know that, like anything, things will iterate and change and evolve and develop. But at the heart of it, I think, is that honest, genuine conversation that you can have with yourself and with others in that space, and just, yeah, just, I mean, what better vehicle to spread hope, but, you know, social hope that tomorrow's going to be a new day, hope that the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning and we get another crack at it, and just the hope that, you know, humanity can win.
And I think, like, let's not put too much pressure on ourselves. It's not our job every day to save this world. It's our job every day to, you know, go back to my garden thing. Get your garden in order, get your lawns in order, get your kids to school. Hey, guess what? You've just saved a bit of the world. You know, everyone wants to say that thing or try and show that thing that will, you know, that's the magic bullet here, you know, that'll fix everything. And I don't think there is such a thing. I think it's like what it's like as a dad. There's good days, there's bad days, there's days where you shut your mouth when you should have said something, there's days where you open your mouth where you should have said something.
And then there's days where all of that happens all in one day.
Exactly. All in 1 hour, you know? And I don't think, and here's what I think. I want a country and I want a world where really smart people get the opportunity, regardless of their social background, gender, whatever, to reach their highest potential. And you know what? I think they're going to save the world.
Yeah.
I want to be, if I'm that person, I want to rise to the top, and I want to be supported and funded. And that's why I love scientists. That's why I love people who really care deeply about a topic and go out and be the best in that topic. I may never be the best in any topic. I may just be meant for a different reason. Maybe we're here to just entertain people with our podcast, and that's a worthy thing as well. Maybe I'm here to just keep my garden tidy, and I'm super happy with that privilege, but I don't have to save the world. And it's a lot of pressure off your shoulders when you don't have to save the world. It's like, save your family. Save yourself from going online and cracking, you know. I don't know. I tried to think of, it's a nice mixture of physical, mental. So I was panting and sweating and, you know, had dad back doing my garden. And that's probably, it probably released something, you know. I'm not a doctor or a scientist, but I would say that stuff helps with anxiety. And, you know, yeah, so That's what I reckon. Like Forrest Gump. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I guess, with that, we'll probably bring episode 10 to a close. But, again, we remain incredibly interested in people's musings and just really continue to be buoyed on by people engaging with the content and kind of what we're up to. And I think, like I say, if we were to kind of try and get people to have that one takeaway just to be really empowered to understand that, I guess from my perspective, I kind of look at it and go, if you're going to influence or in trying to assert your influence on the world for good, there's no better place to start than your own family, I think it's that incremental inside out kind of idea that if we're built to try and influence and kind of lead people and be leaders and stuff, you got to lead your own family first. And you know what? There's an opportunity right now, to kind of, once we wrap things up in the podcast, take the headphones out or whatever you're listening to and go and put something right. Go and tidy a shelf, as it were, whether it's, with your significant other, with your kids, with your life and the way that you see your world, whether it's at your work, friends and family, there's an opportunity to be proactively engaging in that process of tidying your world. And then I think as you do that, those other options and other opportunities will become more and more well known to you as you go through that.
100%. I wrote something, can I read it out to you?
Totally.
It's my wallpaper screen, and for me this is exactly what you're saying. It's be a leader, okay, but not in a trivial way. Remind yourself to be a leader every day. And sometimes leader means shutting up, sometimes it means emptying the dishwasher when no one else can be bothered, and sometimes it means standing up for what you think is important. I don't know, it just means everything and nothing. Take it for what it means to you. But
I'm no English scholar, but what I'm fascinated by is this idea of leadership, and a leader is a very active term. The tense is now. Leadership is not a past tense. Leadership is not a future tense. Leadership is now and always. It's an ever-present thing. And I just love that as a challenge, that as we sort of search to lead our families and lead in our businesses and to be that leader, it's very much a now. It's not now, not tomorrow. It's now.
And you can also, we're going to be better leaders 10 years from now. We're going to know different things, We're going to look back and say, remember how we used to say be a leader and that was full of crap? Well, that was exactly what the world needed,
At the time, yeah.
Actually, that's probably the way to fix the world, right? If everyone was just, be a leader in your own life. How could you not fix it? Because if you were actually a leader and you were a policymaker, how could you willingly do something that was bad for people? Anyways, that was a good one, eh, Greg? That was pretty deep.
Yeah.
I feel like stuff was said. I wonder what you're thinking if you're the Havel marketing team listening to this. You're like,
they're having it all.
Definitely, these are definitely leaders that we want to be around.
Let's
give them the trucks to keep and a yearly salary.
We'll sow those seeds. We'll keep watering them. We'll see where we end up.
Sweet as. Let us know what you guys think about the topic. Any of the points that we've raised. Are you deleting Facebook? Are you keeping it? Why?
If you see us out in the road in the mighty H6 or H9 Haval,
Come say g'day.
Let's do a
selfie.
We'll go for a ride.
I'll put you on my shoulders. That's a promise. Email us if you want to get in touch, raddadsnewzealand@gmail.com.
Otherwise, facebook.com/raddadsnz if you're bothering to stick around.
Boom. Okay, we'll see you next week on the Only Podcast, brought to you by two dads,
one truck,
and a whole heap of leadership. That's cheesy. That's all right, though. See you, team.
See ya.